May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1139. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Hymn 1139.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word from the Gospel according to John, chapter 8. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8, from verse 12 down to verse 47. John 8, from verse 12 to 47. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said unto him, "We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." We'll leave the reading there. Let us pray. Most holy, most gracious, ever merciful, long suffering, dearest Lord, oh, that we may have the knowledge in our heart that thou art my Lord and my God. Let thy truth be found working in my soul and my life. We come this morning, hour, to continue in prayer and supplication. And may we live a life of prayer, not just in the sanctuary or when coming to it, but all the days of our sojourning below, Lord, that our heart could often be lift up unto Thee in glory, who is in glory. And may we know Thee, Lord, a while struggling below in many fears, temptations, spiritual torments, trials, anxiety, loneliness, that our heart could feel that Thou hast prepared a place for us above. Do confirm to Thy weary people that they are Thine, and Thou hast redeemed their soul from the power and the sting of death. Do wean our hearts from these time things and time scenes that so weigh us down and bring bondage to the soul and darkness to hope. We bow to worship Thee now. Give us a sense of Thy majesty and of Thy grace all in one. We may know the King in His beauty. So we ask now for Thy blessing upon our gathering at this time, this house of prayer, this assembly this day. I pray Thy blessing upon the assembly already met for prayer and request. We must join, Lord, in spirit at least, that each of us may humble our own heart, may humble ourselves by Thy grace, Lord, by divine teaching, by knowledge of sin and knowledge of the justice of the Lord. And we're then to mingle with that hope of the gospel, to rend our own hearts and not our garments, the outward walk only, the outward appearance, and turn to the Lord. And we pray for mercy upon us as a nation. We have much to render thanks in the nation for concerning our history, Thy deliverances, Thy goodness, Thy mercies extended to us over many years. But Lord, we've much now to inquire after Thee of, concerning the solemn time in which our lot is cast. Have mercy on Thy dear people, and give strength and grace in the trying hours that might lie ahead. And may we be found now being prepared for Thy will, and save us from taking rest in a cozy life and a cozy hearth, that our soul may be to the battle, dear Lord, by faith, to see Thee fight for us, or to lay hold of Thy garment. So remember us in the nation and answer the prayers and accept the thanks for the mercies and answer the request this morning hour put up. Bless this house, bless the dear deacons, the church, the congregation. Pray they may each be as one in Thy tender fear, that all the pride of man and independence may be removed from our hearts. They may abide in union and in fear, each longing for living waters and fearing to come short, they may discover thy goodness in long waiting and know there on the rock. Do bless this assembly in their lives and their own personal pathways. Provide for them in all things. Bless the ministry here and in Zion. Remember all friends in senior years, or those coming to the end of their journey. Or do speak to their hearts. What can we say? Lord, we cannot bring thee down from above or any blessing. Thy dear people are made to feel so helpless. But there is a place beside thee. And may we know we're on that rock. And in the cleft of that rock, hear prayer, the cries and weepings of thy people concerning loved ones at the end of the journey. It may be well with them as they come down. Unloose those bonds of nature and break through, Lord, into their soul. Remember all in pain and affliction and suffering. There are those in great affliction here. Think of two we know, there might be more. One more stable, another a very recent time. We pray for those healing mercies, Lord, and the blessing of eternal life. Oh, sanctify all these solemn dispensations to all of us. And may we be sober under thy dealings and humbled. Oh, hear the anxious, heart-rent cries of loved ones and of those in affliction, that thy word may be a foundation in their heart, may be certain. There may be a rising up again, so the souls may be set at liberty, and thou wilt in thy infinite goodness show the wonders of thy hand and deliver and heal. Once more we pray for thy honour and thy glory, and each of us may cause our lamp not to be hid, but we may take up our cross daily, daily, Lord, daily, and follow thee. Remember our younger friends, bless the Sunday school from week to week. May there be some instruction take root in their young hearts, and it may there be that hidden seed, hidden manna that shall grow. Remember all that have departed, we pray for parents, and may there be true prodigals among those that have departed from the truth. Bless and provide for our younger friends in all things that they so need and feel to need, and go before them. Thank thee for thy mercies to one and another of them in the provisions and blessings of life. Remember all in middle life to cast their care. Remember, Lord, each in Bethesda homes, remember thy servants. Remember one this day at Black Boys and Horan. Be gracious to him and bless him in his own soul. And may he feel that with him and that help given. Bless Zion, remember all thy servants, or editors and secretaries. And do send answers to those prayers put up, Lord, by thy servants yesterday. We desire to be there, but were prevented. Oh, Lord, do return in power to us, and may each of us have dealings from heaven in our life. and thy word may be a fire, a living principle in our breast. And blessed Holy Ghost, be in our lives and reign o'er us, and bless Zion, and return in mercy to Jerusalem. Now let our words be few, acknowledge and praise thee for every mercy, every blessing we have in life's journey, thy great goodness, thy kindness, thy long suffering. Now, Lord, undertake for us. Only thou canst help. Lord, we often feel to be a finished man, undone, finished, ruined. Lord, help. Help, Lord, be our Lord, our Redeemer, our Saviour. Oh, that we may feel thee near, we may feed on thee and lean on thee, thy word, the foundation, Lord. Oh, give us tokens we're on the foundation still, and undertake for us this day, and give grace to wait, and order thy solemn, awful dealings, and give meekness, never to murmur or reply, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We ask how we may feel them to be there, and it may be a comfort and a support every day. We ask in thy worthy name, with a confession of all our rotten sins, pleading that precious blood, the opened, sprinkled, our shelter, our meat day and night, and for thy sake, amen.
Hymn 1013. There is a family on earth whose father fills a throne, but thou a seed of heavenly birth to men there little known. Hymn 1013.
Thank you.
in complete dependence on the Lord. I would draw your attention to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to John, chapter 8 and verse 36. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8 and verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be freed, free indeed. The portion we read was very solemn. The Jews had the covenant. They had the ceremonies, the blessings, but they were not the children of God for the most part. The fullness of their purpose had come, which was that the seed of the woman should be brought forth. And they were kept as a people for this very purpose. They were a favored people, and there were many, many godly among them. But the gospel day is the time of the days of the Son of Man on earth. Therefore, the portion read, it needs to search our own hearts as to whether we hear and know the word of God, and as to whether we are set at liberty or still in the yoke of self and this world. Our text is the crown, the blessing of the covenant. It speaks of liberty and freedom. And it seems in these dark days in Zion, and I'm not complaining, there is so little liberty and freedom. I'm speaking of gospel liberty in believing and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are the blessings of grace, and they are little experienced, almost promoted, that you're not allowed to enjoy them. But leaving that aside, this liberty, this freedom, is the crown of happiness in Christ, free from condemnation and free from the dominion of sin and the power of sin and the guilt of sin. But you say we're in the body and therefore we are sinners and we cannot but breathe sin or see sin, or we are sin. And so was Peter, and so was Matthew, and so was Paul. And if you see in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul is led to cry out a spiritual cry. And is there anyone here this morning hour who can join with the Apostle in feeling and living for the good that I would, I do not? And so forth. I've lost what I was looking at, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I find then a Lord that when I would do good, evil is present with me. O wretched man that I am. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Are there two laws, two principles? What will you see in the Shulamite, as it were? The company, let us look upon thee, the company of two armies. The child of God has two armies. And he's not invited one of them, he was born in one. And the other army is the free principle of grace working. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he concludes on that sweet note. So then with the mind, and that's, if you have that spirit, you're in spiritual labour and conflict. And you are in labour and conflict, and it is a fight. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now that is gladness. I thank God. I thank God. Has anyone here got up this morning and thanked the Lord that they are not what they used to be? You may not be able to thank him this day for all the blessings being poured on your head that you so long for. But has there been a change wrought in the heart? Before I come to the text, well, as I come to the text, I said that is like a crown, it is a blessing. You know, it's a great mercy for the soul to be set at liberty by the word of truth. And to know what it is to be free from the law of sin and death. To be free from condemnation. But you know, dear friend, it is as a soul is led and a question arises, how are we? Are we living upon the stream? Are we living in the sweetness of the gospel? Have we ever lived in the sweetness of the gospel? The Apostle Paul wrote Romans 7. But he ever lived upon Christ and was looking for an expectation of eternal happiness. Now the point is, do we want Christ just to clear our conscience or to be with him, which is better than this world? And now I face that question. And it's something I face every day. Am I just living here on earth for Christ? Or am I longing, is there, have I hope of a better country and a better place? And we do well to ask ourselves this question. You know, for either our exercises will fall down and prove to be worthless, or they prove to be real. How is it with us? Is there a weight of a lost eternity upon our heart? And is there a knowledge that we shall be in eternity? Or is eternity as yet just a fairy tale, an unknown or something I'll think about later on? What is this liberty and where is it found? We know it is by a divine teaching of the Holy Ghost and is kept alive by the Holy Ghost. And no man can keep alive his own soul, and he cannot keep alive that liberty or that freeness or that hope or that joy. We cannot do it. And we are in a body of sin and death. And you know, there is an attention to something below, and our liberty is gone. I know it's a mark of grace, but it means clearly, although he standeth behind our wall, and that is a mercy, but we do not want to him to withdraw himself from the handle of the door of the heart. So how and upon which foundation is this liberty found? Now some here have tasted this liberty, but are we living in this liberty? And are we drinking the liberty? There are some very solemn words which Christ said before I come to what I was going to mention. Look at the Jews, very religious. You know, they could analyse the law of Moses in the finest detail and speak of Messiah to come and all his glory. That's religion. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. If there is any union with Christ, it is not of this world, and our heart must be taken, our attention must be drawn from this world. But where to? And who to? He said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. It couldn't be clearer. It couldn't be clearer. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And there were many that there believed on him. Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If ye continue in it. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in it. Friend, the gospel is unconditional. But you say Christ is laying down here a condition. No, he's not laying down a condition. He is speaking the truth. That there is, by grace we continue. And if we don't continue by grace, then we're of all men most miserable. There is a walking in darkness and having no light. But let him trust on the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And then there's the opposite, the awfulness of sparks around kindling. And this is what tries the church. And a living soul cannot be set at liberty until his soul is found, or cannot feel the liberty, even if it's been set at liberty. He cannot enjoy the blessing he so longs for. Now, are we gathered this morning to enjoy and to know the blessed hope of being with Christ forever, free from sin, free from condemnation, even though we're in the furnace, even though you're in the trial, to be set free and free from all that clogs the heart? Well, what is this foundation? We have to go back, dear friends, and we cannot go back unless we're led. Sweetly and all has our soul been led to see something of a covenant made by God. Not to view, but to feel the touch, the knowledge of it. The covenant of grace. Two parts of the covenant of grace. One is a covenant of redemption made between Christ and his Father to bring forth his people to his Father and to deliver them. It's part of the covenant of grace. There is that second part which works now, and that has been accomplished and has been sealed. Already that part of the covenant of grace has been sealed. But now, has our heart been led to our surety? Our surety, friends. Our surety in the covenant of grace. Not between God and man, because man cannot keep it, but with Christ as our head, the head of his dear people. Has our soul been led to know the certainty of that covenant made to those that believe in him and who are drawn to him, and whether and if they have had that heavenly touch, the setting of the seal upon their conscience and soul, and to know what mercy and salvation is by his word of truth in their trying hour? I mention these things because this is a foundation. Now Christ is that foundation. The foundation of our hope. The Apostle Paul speaks in Corinthians. Concerning the foundation laid, which had been laid. And he said that I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, meaning the ministry of the word. But then he says this, he puts this word of caution, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, dear friends, we are by profession and by appearing in God's house, we're building. Every one of us is building something. Now, the apostle goes on to speak of that building on our profession. He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's been laid already. It's laid in Zion. And there are many promises concerning that. He that believeth shall not be confounded. He that believeth shall not make haste to depart. The meaning there is. And shall not be ashamed. But he speaks of the building upon it. And he speaks of the gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble. He says every man should be, work should be tried on the building. On the foundation, how we walk, and how we receive the word, and how we're kept under the shadow of that word. And here Christ speaks of liberty, liberty. And are we walking, dear friends, under the light? To be under the liberty of the gospel is to walk under the light, literally, of his countenance, to have communion with him and knowledge of him. And I'm being serious. I'm not trying to tell you you're wrong because you're not walking at liberty. It is by grace. And I'm not writing anybody off because they're not walking at liberty. But dear beloved friends, there is too much casting away by worldliness of the sweetness and mercy of grace received, and it does not give glory to God or to Christ. And may we not be found wanting at last. It is not attaining in religion. It is It is being established on the rock. For the evil day is coming. The evil day is coming fast upon us. Individually, for we have given account of our stewardship, I have to give an account. And I'm ashamed, friends, and I tremble at times to give an account, but to give an account I will. For my soul longs to return to the rest that is in Christ, as says, being set at liberty. And how is it I've become entangled again with the yoke of bondage? Forgive me for speaking personally. I'm expressing soul feeling. I will just speak of the regarding the Galatians. You know, they now regarding the Galatians, they got mixed up in ceremonies, but they were putting themselves back under the signs of that covenant made with Moses, which was a covenant with the nation, which was part gospel of covenant of grace and part covenant of works, because there was a condition, but the covenant rite was seen and shown by the ceremonies and the mercy and the glory of the ceremonies. And the promise of Christ is part of that glorious covenant of grace. And as Paul speaks of, not made with your fathers, that covenant which was broken. It was broken. Nationally, it was not kept. You see, they put themselves back under something they did not understand, under signs. And they trusted that they were right because they kept to these things. Now, are we under that bondage because we keep to certain things or hold certain doctrines or we keep to certain traditions? Has it set our soul at liberty? And how have we come entangled? And the principal point here is very serious for all of us. Are we looking within our heart to see whether in obedience or not? Because if you look within, and we should search, the Lord will search his people. He searches Jerusalem with candles, and we exhort the psalmist Christ, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. You see, there's the searching, but there's the leading and the liberty. The way of everlasting is the liberty and the mercy. And there's not another way of everlasting. And that way of everlasting is not keeping in the law of Moses' commandment, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. And Moses, Paul says in Galatians, and the law is not of faith. Clearly says it. And that's why I feel so strong, because that delivered me, because I love the Scottish Presbyterians very much. And I was torn between our own articles and the Westminster Confession, even after I'd been baptized, and said I'd agree with those articles. But my soul was not settled, because I thought I could believe in the liberty that Christ had given me, still believing in the law as him fulfilling it. But no soul is not that way. And it was this word that dropped in one Lord's Day evening in reading and praying and weeping. And the law is not of faith. We're justified by faith purely in the Lamb alone. Now, how have we become entangled? Perfection in the flesh. And that's what the Galatians were falling under. Not just because they were keeping certain ceremonies and going back. It was in the heart was wrong. They were looking for perfection and thought they could be advanced in perfection and holiness and righteousness. They departed from the simplicity of living faith in what the Lord has done and made known to your soul by one word. And the devil gets in and says, it's not enough, you need more than all that. Look at your sin, look at this. Friend, the only way to be delivered from sin is to drink in the word of life made known to your soul, and there's not another way. There's not another way to drink in mercy and grace made known to the soul. And you know it was made known. You remember the day. And how we keep looking within to see if all is well. And I can't. It's not well with my flesh. But we have one above. A boundless, limitless fullness to plead of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. This covenant I've spoken of was in love, electing love, not election alone. Certainly election's not selection. What I mean by not election alone, it was by love, what I mean, joined with election, eternal love and keeping. And only the Son of God could fulfill this glory for his people that they so need, because they cannot keep it. Do we know Christ? To know the Lamb of God, to have a little hope in him, his friend, opens up a fullness. But oh, how our soul is exercised to obtain a little stream of it. Oh, you want the stream. One little stream of mercy has the fullness of the liberty and joy in it, friend, through the word of grace, through the word of the gospel. Has your soul lived upon the word, the chief of sinners, whatever you are, I don't know who you are, but you know his dear people are brought to grow within themselves. If you're a living soul, you're grown within yourself. Absolutely, at wit's end to know, what shall I do, what shall I do? There is that hymn, "Your captive souls in fetters bound, who feel your misery, the way to liberty is found, the Son shall make you free." You know, to a believer, I would address the third verse, not to everybody, but to the believer, and it would be nice for someone who's in bondage to hear it. Why should you doubt his love or power when he's given you a token of mercy? You think of the awfulness of it. Think of what I'm saying. If you had a friend you'd done a great favour to, and then they doubted and they gave slight to it or looked somewhere else for further help, you'd think your help wasn't sufficient. No, we mustn't equate God with men. That would be wrong. But you see how the offence comes. And the Israel sin of old was through their unbelief in the desert. Egypt was better, although of course there was more to that than I'm alluding to at this time. More sin in that than what I'm saying. Why should you doubt his love or power? To him, this is the point for refuge flee. This is the Lord's, the appointed hour. He waits to make you free. There, I presume, the hymn writer. I don't know who wrote the hymn. I presume the hymn writer was under the knowledge and blessing of divine appointments at a certain time. And certainly on the waiting, that God is waiting still upon his own will and not upon man. It doesn't mean waiting upon man, but it's an appointed day. He waits to make you free. He waiteth to be gracious, declares Isaiah. It's a glorious word that, you know, although there's more in that than might appear to the flesh. It is not Arminianism. You know, it is a sweet thing to behold and see how the Lord's patience is extended out to his people, loving them and being with them still in all their hard wanderings. But I've wandered off. Divorce my soul from every sin, let me thy servant be. O make and keep my conscience clean, to show that I am free. Well, Galatians, how is it this morning? Are you looking within for light and it's all darkness? And the longer you look within, the more darkness it's going to get, friends. And we do despite to the very spirit of grace if we're not careful and left to the extent of it. To the mercy and liberty is set forth and made known in the Lamb. But what is it to be free? If the Son, it says, if Christ, Jesus says, if the Son, meaning himself, should make you free, if I make you free, and not theology, not coming to conclusions, but if I make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be free indeed. I ought to go back to Galatians because I will just quote a couple of verses. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? How was it then? How did we receive Christ in the first place? By mercy, the appointed time. By the gospel, surprising mercy, love unknown, we might cry. And what a surprise it was. How could he love me? And yet he did. He showed me mercy, led me to the foundation spot. And my soul was rested on him, brought to Calvary. Perhaps not literally in experience, but brought to the precious fountain that's opened. Now he says to the Galatians, how did you receive it? I'll learn of you this, he says, with all your ceremonies and looking within and trying to be holy. What's your liberty? Did you receive mercy? By the law, by you being perfect, in other words, that's the meaning, you being perfect, you being Mr. Number One, and you being sinless? Or by the hearing of faith? And friend, we'll only set a liberty now by the hearing of faith. In other words, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you now made perfect by the flesh? Begun in the Spirit, by hearing the gospel. What does Paul write to the Romans? He writes some solemn things in the opening chapters. But then he takes up the person of Abraham and how he was called and how he received the word and the promise only by faith in the heart. And at the end of chapter 3 he speaks, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, and that is to avoid boasting and self-confidence. By faith cometh by hearing, he writes later on in the epistle, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God with life and power. And how did we hear of Christ, and what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he, and what is his work, and what is his blessing? And what is his life in your heart? Think of the Lord Jesus as he walked on the earth. So do you live near the word and behold him. Do you see, have you ever sat on the sermon? Have you sat on the mount and hearing the sermon on the mount? Have you heard him speak from the boat? Have you risen in the boat with him and cried, save us, we perish? Have you been led, dear friends, to know this is a very God manifest in flesh? To hear those last discourses, or to sit out the gate of Jericho and cry, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And he asked thee, what will I that I do unto thee? Lord, cries Bartimaeus, that I might receive my sight, so that I might receive my spiritual sight, that my eyes may be opened, that my soul may be saved. And I may remain Gone my way rejoicing. Friend, they went on their way rejoicing. One thing said the blind man in the temple, where I was blind, now I see. Friends, he wouldn't close his eyes again or wish blindness, would he? And if you're a living soul, you long for the Lord Jesus to shine. But if your soul has been set at liberty, how is it we become entangled with the yoke of bondage again? Are you going to blame the Holy Ghost for not keeping you in that state? God forbid, friend. God forbid. From that, O wretched man that I am, he goes on to say, there is therefore now no condemnation. The Son has made you free from condemnation. Have you known what it is for your soul to hope and be free from that damning word, that damning power? A little hope. A little hope in the light of the Spirit. To see that in Christ Jesus you stand. You stand righteous in him alone. There can be no condemnation if we're in the Lamb's body and in his life, by faith receiving him in the heart. No condemnation. None, friend, to them that are in Christ Jesus. What a glorious word. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The gospel law made me free from it. The law of sin and of death. The law of the Spirit of life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You've been led by the Spirit. To be your soul, to drink in mercy, known that liberty. To believe what he has said unto you. And to lie down and go to sleep at peace. Forever. And you thought it was forever. But lo, behold, the trial comes. And our flesh fails. Friend, it's very true that no man can keep alive his own soul. As he keeps us alive, so we walk in liberty. As he withdraws, the withdrawing of the Spirit, it is to humble us, and that is why he proves what's in our heart. But are you content with that? Can you live like that? Can you say, well, I've been favoured and I'm waiting and I'm in darkness? God forbid. If you're living this morning, we want Christ. Oh, you can't be content to come to chapel and just go in and out. Surely not. Oh, surely not. A serious friend. You're in a serious place to keep drifting in and out of chapel and be content and say, well, I want the word blessed and I want this word of encouragement and I want that promise given me and the Lord to appear in providence. Yes, they're all living exercises, but oh, or to know the balm in Gilead to be found in Christ, free from condemnation. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of Christ. And this is the glory of God, the Lord our righteousness. And herein is the liberty found alone, and the peace of God. Oh dear, I expect I'm preaching to myself again. What else does the apostle say? Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Who have we been obeying this morning? Ourself, the Lord, to do what's right and come to chapel. Has our soul been drawn by love? We would see Jesus. I would see Jesus because I love him. and he's my heavenly mate. And there's no heaven without him, and without him there's hell. To taste that he's gracious. Oh, have you tasted his graciousness? Do you long to taste his graciousness? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you from the heart by desire, by thirst, by longings, by prayers, by supplications, you obey from the heart, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. The Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity of iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Slightest wandering of heart. Friend, beloved, keeps us. Friend, the fountain. You see, we live by the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. We live by the blood of Jesus. And here he says, of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It's not we've got to attain to something. Friend, in here is happiness and here is joy alone in Christ, who has fulfilled the law himself as our covenant head and made it honourable and magnified it in all points. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life, and so forth. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, justified by faith, believing in him. And it's not a light believing, friend. It is the drinking in. This believing is receiving liberty and sweetness. Oh, to hope in the word. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the question this morning, are we set at liberty in the Son of God? I'm not asking you, are you enjoying it? Does your soul know anything of where that hope is and where your soul returns? The living waters. Oh, the living waters of the gospel have reached your heart. It did that woman at the beginning of the chapter, which I did not. Neither do I condemn thee. I didn't read it. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. No condemnation. What? You know, often mention the thief and so forth, and Manasseh. No condemnation. The soul by the Spirit was led to the fountain, where alone is pureness, peace, joy, free from condemnation, free from guilt. Oh soul, oh freedom, the Son, Christ Jesus, has made you free. Has your soul bid you long, oh, to hear those cries of Christ in dying, and to know his rising voice again. 'Tis I, be not afraid. Why are you, why are ye so troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? You know, when there's a fear not given to the soul does not just feed on the fear not, It feeds on the grace, the purpose, and the person who gave it. That he is with thee, and he'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. As the Son, fulfilling all things in the law, dying, shedding his own blood, as your soul been led to fall down and creep and plead that precious blood. His death, his dying. He's dying on the tree, bearing the curse, made a curse. God cursed him. God the Father, his own Father cursed him. Because sin was imputed. Now what do we think of sin and how does sin affect us? And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. Set at liberty. Friend, to have communion with God, with Christ. Do you know our legal heart thinks, how can you say such a thing? How dare you? God is holy. You should be swooning before him. That's our legal heart. So it is so. If you're a sinner, yes, you will one day. There's no question of it. But there's a people, heirs of glory, union, sons of God, joint heirs with Christ in heaven. Sons of God were purchased by his blood. As the Son made us free with a sweet promise. Under the cloud of the covenant, by the Holy Ghost working within. Friend, it's not just receiving a word. It's the liberty the word brings. It's the grace the word brings. The joy the word brings. Well, how have we come this morning? And this is really why I came with this word. Well, I came because I've had it given me, but I wouldn't have done it otherwise. But how is it with us as we consider the word? We're made free. Are we continuing in this truth? Or are we being entangled with self? Entangled with self. Cast down with self. Friend, I do not know anything different than when one considers one's own life and all the failings and all the work. It can but cast you down, and it will cast you down. And there is no liberty there, and no blessing. In Jesus only. And your soul is being led to living waters. Do you sigh? Do you cry? Do you pray? The Lord will bless you. He has said to those that seek him, and cry, and sigh, and groan, and long, they shall find. They want the living waters. They must be set at liberty. The appetite is given for that liberty before the liberty comes. We're given natural hunger before a meal. If you weren't hungry, you'd never eat. How could you eat if you were feeling not hungry? You couldn't take the food. You see, your soul is once and brought to desire the liberty and the mercy and the grace. The holiness and the righteousness. Friend, be holy for I am holy. It's not the lamb's the lamb's body is our holiness. And his blood our holiness. As it's eaten and fed upon, Christ made it very clear. Very clear. There's no righteousness without that feeding on the gospel. And on Christ, his word, his death. His rising, his intercession, his grace, who is the fullness of the Father. In our reading, he clearly said concerning himself and his Father, and knowing his Father through knowing him. And just know the grace of the Father, and our election to be made sure. Well, I'll leave the word with you. May it never leave us, and may we know that liberty and the sweetness of it. And not become again entangled with this yoke of bondage. if thou show know the forgiveness of our sins, the putting away of the law of bondage forever from our heart, and ever to be kept humble and tender, waiting daily at his gates, watching at the post of his doors, in prayer every hour of the day. No, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. You'll be the loser if you don't. You'll get back into bondage. And I'm not laying down conditions. If we don't do this, we're getting to bondage. No, I am not. I'm speaking from gracious experience. And how my soul mourns and grieves that I've so slighted him and doubted him so many years, when he alone, set our soul at mercy's liberty and righteousness and peace. If the Son, and only the Son, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. No condemnation. Sin put away. The precious blood of Jesus being our safety.
The collections last Lord's Day were £670, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting again tomorrow evening for the nation and the churches. Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Rosier next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 407. Dear Lord, my panting soul in flame, to spread abroad thy matchless fame, and with a solemn pleasure tell the grace which saves from death and hell. Hymn 407.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each now, forever. Amen.